Okay, Korach, again. So, the Malbim and other Mephorshim point out that, I think it's in Pirkei Avos, that they talk about a machlokes, a disagreement, l'shem shamayim, and a machlokes, shelo l'shem shamayim. And an argument that has no religious content whatsoever. It says that when Hillel and Shammai, or Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, had disagreements, all they were looking for was what's the halacha. They wanted MS, and they respected each other. And then when it turns to the classic Machlokes Shelo L'shem Shamayim, it says Korach V'Adaso. Korach and his group of Indians, so to speak. His group. Hold on. What do you mean? Didn't he go against Moshe? And the answer is, Moshe had no argument. It was a one-sided article. One argument. It was just Korach and his rabble-rousers heaping dirt on Moshe. Moshe just stood by and asked for Hashem advice as to what he should do. And we're pointing out that there was controversy among Korach and his various groups. Korach's argument was, you guys, Moshe and Aaron, you screwed it up. You basically sassed me. You didn't give me due deference. I don't believe that what you did was from God. And somehow he got 250 people, whether they were all Levium or not, or whether even some of them, they say they were from the Sanhedrin, the judges whom Yisro had said to appoint, but these were not common people, and somehow they got taken in. The Bechorim were convinced by Korach that they should still have the job and they should usurp the position of the Levium. Then there were the goodies, Dathan and Aviram, and their followers. They didn't really have any claim, but these were out-and-out Rishayim, whose sole purpose was to reject the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. And Dathan and Aviram would have liked to have been leaders themselves, because they had tasted authority in Egypt. Korach won over this party of 250, most of whom were from Shevet Reuven, it says here, who camped next to Korach, telling Reuven, who the heck is Moshe to say you're not still the Bechor? Some say these were all people who were Bechorim in the tribe of Reuven, and they wanted to reclaim their greatness. The other possibility, Mephorshim said, is Korach tried to get the unhappy, let's say, second-level leaders in each tribe and said, look, if you join me, I'm going to elevate you. These were all, at the end of the day, people with stature. The parable is given of a child from a very hush of a family, was caught picking pockets of people who went into the bathhouse. When the owner of the bathhouse asked who is this child? He didn't say, the person who caught him didn't say who he was directly. He said, you know, it's Chaim. He didn't say Chaim, the son of da-da-da-da-dum. He said he was tall, he was good-looking, and he said he's from a famous party. And from his description, everyone understood who it was. The Torah doesn't explicitly say Lashon Hara and name the people who were involved in Korach's group. It calls them the Nesiim of the congregation, people who are recognized by name. These were people with greatness and wisdom. Korach had the greatest tongue of a used car salesman. And he convinced these people that we need a democracy. Everybody from every tribe should be involved in the leadership position. This notion of Moshe and Aaron and the Shevet Levi leader, etc. This was all nepotism and discarded. So, what did Korach do? On the advice of his brilliant wife, he took totally blue begadim garments with four corners. He dressed himself, Dathan Aviram, and his 250 cohorts, and they all walked to Moshe and Aaron. And Korach said, let me ask you a question. You said the mitzvah is Tcheles, goes on one of the strands in the four corners, or each of the four corners of the tzitzis. Look what we did. We've got garments that are totally covered in tcheles. Does this require tzitzis or not? Korach's plan was the following. If Moshe said no, then he would say, just like a beged, a garment of total techeles doesn't need an extra techeles thread, so too do all the holy Jewish people not need Aaron and the Kohanim to represent them before Hashem. If Moshe, on the other hand, would say, the Torah says you've got to affix tzitzis on a four-cornered beged, no matter what it's made out of, right? He would have said, you're an idiot. You've made this up because if one techeles thread potters everything, how can an entire garment of techeles not be pristine? And Moshe said to Korach, the halacha that I learned in Sinai is that even a techeles barget requires tzitzis, and not only that, one of the strings of the tzitzis still has to have techeles. Korach started laughing and he started making fun of this mitzvah. And he said, the same way you got this wrong, you've got everything wrong. He said, you know, Moshe, you're a fraud. We stood and had the greatest revelation ever in history on Har Sinai. God didn't say anything but the 10 utterances, we call them, right? The Aseres Adibros. Where in there does it say Tcheles? You invented all the laws that you've presented since Sinai, together with your brother, to protect basically your fiefdom, your leadership. And what have we, the Jewish people, gained? We are more miserable here than anywhere else. You set up a system of truma to the Kohanim, miser to the Levium, and 24 different types of gifts to Kohanim. And you put us in a position that we've got to stay in the desert and watch 15,000 people whose birthday occurs that year die because of your so-called mistake with the Meraglim. You've gone too high. Who made you king? And it says, Korach was so good at agitating and getting his followers irate, they were ready to pick up stones and basically stone Moshe and Aaron. Moshe fell on his face. When they saw this, this indicated Moshe wanted no authority for himself. He said, I bow to you. And he said, I don't want any power. My brother doesn't want any power. Aaron stood by and said nothing. They didn't criticize what had gone on, but rather, they basically took it. And we know what Moshe then did was, he said, you all claim that I want greatness, that I seek mastership over you, that through nepotism, I gave Aaron his position. And that's why his sons are Kohanim. And you claim that it was I who required the Levium to replace the Bechorim. First of all, I'm telling you right now, you're wrong. Hashem never asked my opinion what to do. He just told. And I understand. I even have empathy for your desire for all of you to be on a higher level of service. And we know that the nations of the world allow anyone to, quote, assume a priestly position, and you may want to basically emulate them. And I understand that 250 of you are willing to basically do whatever is needed to attain spirituality. He says, let me conduct, in Hashem's acquiescence, a test tomorrow. I don't have Hashem's permission to do it today. Moshe felt that if he didn't start this test immediately, maybe they'd cool off. They'd have a whole day to think. But he didn't tell them that. And he said, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Anyone who claims that he is prepared to show that he is one of the chosen for serving a Kaddish Baruch Hu, I want you to come here tomorrow with a fire pan, as they called them, filled with ketores, and we're going to offer it to Hashem. And I'm going to remind you what happened the last time someone did this. Their names are Nodav Yavihu. They're not here today. Aaron will also do this. We know, and you must admit, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose some, none, or all of you. Those of you who perish because of the Ketores tests obviously weren't on the level. Those who survive, you've proven your point. But please remember that this is a suicide mission. Only some of you may come out on the other side alive. It says these 250 cohorts of Korach were so eager to perform this task that basically they put everything they had into it. And whether or not they were, I would say, logical, they were prepared to basically sacrifice their lives. Dasan and Aviram, they were not interested in this at all. They didn't show up. And he then said to Korach, I want you to explain to me the great benefits that Aaron received from the kahuna. Two of his sons were killed. Is that a great honor? Korach didn't answer that one. He said, I know that Moshe is more skilled than I in arguing, right? And he'll beat me, so I'm not going to say anything. Moshe called to Dasan and Aviram, and he said, come. And they said, Loinala, we're not coming up. We're through taking orders from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, rather. You didn't take us to the land flowing with milk and honey. You took us into a wilderness to die. Egypt was more of a land of milk and honey than this. And they said, Moshe, even if you decide to punish us by yanking our eyes out of their sockets, we're not coming to see you. We're not coming up. Moshe had, when he had fallen on his face, had said that he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu to create something novel to basically punish Korach and his other people, something that it would be obvious that they were wrong. And Moshe said, if the ground opens up and swallows you alive, then you'll know that I was right and you were wrong. And we know when we read on in the parsha, that's what happened, right? And they quote Shlomo HaMelech when he said in Mishlei, the verdict of a fool is pronounced by his own mouth. Dathan and Aviram said, Loi na'ala, we won't come up. And that's true what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swallowed them alive, and they would never come up to Eretz Yisroel, the land of milk and honey. Moshe was terribly upset. and he said, Hashem, please do not deal with them in any way with mercy, with rachamim, but with din, strictness. If you do not act strictly with this, there will never be authority in Yahadus. No leader will ever be respected, no Navi will ever be listened to, and no eventual king will have any authority. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know that I never asked for this position, and I have never magnified myself in any fashion to be a king. I follow your advice, your direction, and I act in the best interests of these people. Even when I had to rent a donkey to go down to Egypt to give the message, right? Pakod Pakadati to the Jewish people, I never asked for compensation for those funds. I've never received a penny from anyone for anything I've done. And he said to Korach and his crowd, you and the 250 people, when you come with the Ketores, you will be on one side, Aaron on the other. And we will see whose Ketores HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept. So Moshe tried to buy time. And what happened? Chazal tell us. Korach went around to every tribe and he said, you know what? In my wisdom, I've discerned that every tribe really needs its own Kohen Gadol. We don't need one. Moshe did this notion of one Kohen Gadol. And he said to the people, do you think that I've gone to all this trouble for my sake? You think I'm looking for my own personal honor? I am trying to protect the integrity of every Jew. I don't understand why all of you were totally silent in the past. Why didn't you realize what's happening? Every one of you was told you're going to be part of a Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of priests. God said that. What did Moshe do with that statement? And Korach found an appropriate reason for each tribe to be upset with Moshe Rabbeinu. He said to Yehuda, right, who he had previously denigrated, hold on, Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda, the rulership, the Malchus kingdom should never leave Yehuda. What's Moshe doing here being king? To Reuven, he came back again and he said, what's this notion that you lost your right to be treated as the eldest? And so he kept rabble-rousing. He kept getting people more and more upset. And he was getting the entire nation ready to come and watch this spectacle of the 250 men going with Ketores against Aaron. And he said, you're going to see tomorrow, God is going to vindicate all of us. The kingship of Moshe and Aaron is going to falter. It's going to fail. I know. I have perfect knowledge of the fact of what's going to happen tomorrow and how we're all going to be so satisfied to be rid of Moshe, Aaron, and all their edicts. Okay. And we will pick up with the rest of the story tomorrow.